The gospel reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. And it reads, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Here ends the reading of the gospel. Please be seated. We're going to do Blessed Assurance again. Apparently, there is a message in that song for us, and that's why we did it at the opening, and we'll do it one more time before the sermon this morning. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I bring grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together in fellowship. In today's gospel is a story that begins very sadly and ends very joyously. It is the story about the 10 lepers. This story is one of the many stories in the Bible that can be used in giving us a picture of our condition before God came and rescued us. This is a real event that took place in Jesus' time, but painted all over it is the story of salvation. This is one of the Bible's passages that is used most often during Thanksgiving, because it is also packed with all the reasons why we need to give praises and honor to God. My prayer today is that God would open more our understanding to appreciate our salvation by the close of this message, as I speak to you under the theme, "This is Our Story." Now you can see why we sang Blessed Assurance twice this morning, because it talks about our story. The reason why I chose this theme is because we all have a salvation story. Everyone that has been born into faith, everyone that has been baptized into the Spirit has a salvation story. And yes, it may sound different in explanation, but the content is always the same. And so here is our story this morning. So the narration of this story, as we heard, is about 10 lepers. 10 lepers that had been ostracized out of society and was living their lives together in a particular area there in Jerusalem, outside of the city. And as Jesus was passing by, they heard about him and decided to shout out and call his attention to their situation. And as they did that, Jesus Christ uttered a word. And he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were on their way to the temple to show themselves to the priests, the Bible says they realized that they were instantly healed at that time. And from out of the 10, one turned around and came back to say thank you. And this one was very joyous as he came to give thanks to Jesus Christ. And Jesus asked, "Where are the other 9? It was 10 that got healed. Why is it that only one came back?" And as a matter of fact, the one that came back is a foreigner. Why is it that the rest did not come back to give praise and honor to God? Let's look at from this story 3 quick points. The first thing is the tragic condition of these people. In Luke 17, verses 12 and 13 reads, "As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" So back in the day of Jesus, this was an incurable disease, which was regarded as a direct punishment from God, and which was true. This disease was a disease that came upon people as a result of sin, as it was described. It started from within and gradually spread and leaving people defiled. It then isolated you from people and life in general. And so no one had a cure for this disease. So whenever a person was found to be ill with leprosy, they were driven out of the city and driven away from their families and friends, and they were not allowed to associate with anyone in the city. And if ever they walked amongst people, they had to continuously announce that they were sick and they had this disease so that people would stay away from them. So no one had a cure for this illness. No doctor, no one had a cure for it. And finally, it destined one for death. This is how terrible this situation was, or the condition of these people were. And this is where all of us were once upon a time. When we look at it, the exact description of our spiritual condition is seen in the story of these people. Every person that was born into this life, into this world, the Bible says, came here in sin. And sin can be described, or leprosy can be described as sin, or sin can be described as leprosy. So anyone who has this thing called sin upon their life is a person who is destined to die. And we are talking about an eternal destruction. And this sin started from within.
Because it is the soul of the man that becomes corrupted. It is the spirit of the man that dies when one is corrupted by sin. And you see, so this happens just as it described in the condition of those who suffer from the epidemic of leprosy. And it started from within, then it spread without. It's the same situation with sin. It started as a little seed that was planted inside of our forefathers, and it spread without. And this is the reason why every person who is born into the world is affected by this disease, because the disease has spread out. No one is exempted from it. No matter how good you are, no matter how moral a person becomes, that person is infected by this disease. And this person needs a cure, because everyone born of a woman in the world has been affected by the disease called sin. It also isolates. It isolates us from God. And there is a big gap between those who are sinners and God. There is no way through which we can get back to God because of this disease. This disease caused Adam and Eve to be driven out of the Garden of Eden and placed out from the presence of God. And so every person who do not have a relationship with God, whose spirit has not been regenerated through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the work of the cross, is a person that is living in isolation from God. This is very important. And so it destines for an eternal destruction. And so sin is just as leprosy. This was our story. Every single one of us in this room this morning, once upon a time, had this story. But the next thing we see in the text, it says that they cried. These guys cried out to Jesus Christ as he was passing by. This suggests to us that these guys must have heard about Jesus before. But because of their isolation, they could not get to him. They could not get to where he was because they were isolated. They couldn't go and find him. So Jesus came passing by. It's the same situation with us, my friends. We were separated from God. We could not get to God. There was nothing that man could have done to find God because of the condition of our situation. But then one day, God came down to us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died on the cross to bring us redemption. He came down to our levels when we could not get up to him. And with a strong arm, he lifted us up and showed us what living is. And so because the fact that he came to us, the Bible tells us that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent or gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the story of the gospel. The story is that all men have fallen from the glory of God. And then God comes in our world to bring us back to him. The cry was a cry of faith. This was a faith cry that this guy cried to Jesus Christ, knowing that nothing could fix their problem. Nothing could fix the situation, yet they cried to him. They came crying because he was the only one that could save them. For them, it was a matter of time. Why was it a matter of time? It was a matter of time because Jesus was passing by. And there would have come a time when he was going to be gone and not there anymore. So they had to use the opportunity now, while he was there, to cry and call upon him. The same thing the scripture tells us, that now is the time of salvation. This is the time, my friends, because tomorrow might be too late. If we don't find God now, we can't find him tomorrow, because we don't know when this world is going to come to an end. While we still have life, while we still have the breath in us to breathe, we must find God now. Now is the time of salvation, not tomorrow. I'm saying it and emphasizing, now is the time. He was the only one that was able to cure the sickness or the illness or the epidemic. He was the only one way then. He is still the only one way now. There is no other way to God but Jesus Christ. No matter what kind of thing people have formulated today, I come to let you know that Jesus is the only way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through him. And thank God that we have found him. Give God a hand of praise this morning. So we just look at the tragic condition in this story. Let's look at the tremendous compassion in the story. In Luke 17, verse 14, it reads, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Notice that under the law, these guys deserved nothing. They were all under a death warrant. All right? Jesus owed them nothing, but when they met him, they met grace that day. This was the day when grace rescued them. They met grace because why? They didn't deserve to have received healing from Jesus Christ, but it came by grace. I like the old songwriter that writes, "Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how." He says, but Jesus came to me and rescued me, and by his grace, I'm free. He says, yes, it's different. Yes, now it is different now. And this is the story of all of us. We were once lost in sin, and we had no peace within. But Jesus came and gave us life eternal. So when they saw him, when he saw them, rather, the Bible says, there was not the look, the Bible says, when it talks about the phrase, when he saw them, this was not a look of notice. It was not that he just noticed them. I want to believe with every conviction in my heart that before Jesus came walking down that path, he knew he would have met 10 lepers. So he did not come, and when they talk about looking, he was not looking because he just noticed them. But what the scripture is telling us here is this look is a look of compassion. It's a look of compassion. He looked upon them when he saw them with compassion because he sees what the world had turned out to be for them. And Jesus is looking down into our world today, and he's looking with compassion. He's looking at folks that have drifted away from the faith. He's looking with compassion to those who think that they can carry on in this life all by themselves. For those who have been fooled by the devil to believe that they can live on with this epidemic called sin and survive. God is looking down with pity this morning, and he is wishing that they would cry out with a loud voice of these lepers and find redemption in Jesus Christ. My friends, listen, it is serious. It is important that we do this, or else we, those of us who do not do it, will find ourselves destroyed for eternity. So Jesus Christ is looking with compassion. Look at their healing in this story. It happened before even they realized it. All right? It happened before they even realized that they were healed. Jesus had healed them. The scripture tells us that God had provided salvation for us before the foundation of the world. So before we realized that we were healed, God had healed us. All we had to do was to live in obedience to what God had already done. And this is exactly what it is. When Jesus uttered the word, "Go," he didn't say, "You are healed," but he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." What that tells you and I is that God had destined or predestined for these guys their healing long before time. And the shouting was only to recognize that, yes, the healing had come. And this is the same thing with us as Christians. Every time we come to God in faith, and we recognize or realize that we have been set free and that we have been saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we begin to shout about it, and we put a label on the day that we became saved, and we give it that day that I got saved in 1976 or I got saved in 2016, whatever that date is, I come to let you know that God has saved you before time. And this is a unique thing for us to understand. So all they had to do was to walk in the joy of that healing that God had brought to them. So they had to realize it and act upon something that they had not yet seen. They were acting on something that they had not yet seen. And that's what faith is, my friends. That's what faith is. Look in Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You have the confidence that we have been saved this morning. We have the confidence that God has brought us redemption this morning. We have that hope that when we die and pass away from this earth, we go into eternity and we spend eternity with God. That's the confidence that we have. We haven't seen what heaven looks like. We haven't seen what God has prepared for us, but we believe it with every fabric of our beings that we have been saved. We believe it that one day when we get out of this place, we're going to spend eternity with God. That's the joy of the church. That's the hope of the church. And we do that in obedience to God as we move on in this life on a daily basis. Somebody says, we are marching to Zion. Even though I have not yet seen Zion yet, but I am marching towards Zion. It is exactly what the story is with these guys. Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. They had every reason to sit there and argue about the fact that they didn't see this cleansing. We're asking you to heal us, and now you're sending us back into the city where we were driven from in the first place and telling us to go and show ourselves to the priest in this kind of condition. Well, none of them did that. They all marched on to the temple. And the Bible says while they were on the way, it was when they realized that they had been set free. Folks, we are marching to Zion. And listen to me, one of these days is coming when Jesus Christ is going to come bursting through these clouds while we are marching. And it will be that time when we will realize that we have been saved, when we have put on this glorifying body on this journey. And then we come and stand before God in a new body, in a new person, being newly generated. And we will see this whole thing, and the hope of our life will become realized at that moment. This is what it is about. And this is the journey that we are on. You see, obedience, in their obedience to the word, they begin to experience what had already happened to them. It was because they were living in obedience to the word. It is by obedience that we become exposed to the blessing that God has made available to us. Adam disobeyed and the blessing was taken away. The promises were taken away when he disobeyed. When Abraham obeyed, the Bible says God counted it to him for righteousness, and God gave to Abraham every promise that God had promised. When we live in obedience to the word of God, my friends, listen to me, it brings about a lot of blessing in our lives. And this is so important. Brings us to the last point this morning. The last point this morning is a thankful convert. A thankful convert. The Bible says 10 were healed. Only one returned to give thanks. Luke 17:15-16 reads, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Now look at his realization. He realized two things. The first was Jesus had healed him. That's the first thing he realized. And the second thing, that he didn't need to go to the temple because he was a Samaritan. It was the Jews that went to the temple, not the Samaritan. So the only person that he had to depend on was the one who healed him. So he turned around, not following the normal custom of the day, a tradition of the day, but he goes back to Jesus, the Bible says, and he falls at his feet. All right? Because if the Son have set you free, my friend, you are freed indeed. We don't need no other examination. We don't need no other argument. We don't need another person to tell us how good we are. If Jesus says you are saved, you are saved. If Jesus says you are healed, you are healed. If Jesus says you are destined for an eternal glory, you are destined for eternal glory. And it set us it, and that's it. So we come back to Jesus, my friends. He comes realizing that Jesus is the only one. The Bible says he is rejoicing. Jesus was the only one worthy of his praise and worship. So he comes back and he falls at his feet and he is thankful for his salvation, for his healing at that moment. I have a question for you this morning. The question is, are you thankful for your salvation? Do you take a minute to just sit and think about the fact that God came and rescued you out of the peril of hell and sin and death? Are you thankful for your salvation? I am. This is something I thank God for every day. Every day, I thank God for my salvation. Because if it hadn't been for the cross, if it wasn't for the blood that was shed on that cross, if it wasn't for Jesus, my friends, I don't know where our lives would be this morning. But Jesus Christ came and took on our sins and went on the cross and died so that you and I may have life. It gives me every reason with every life and breath inside of me every day to get up and thank him for the cross and thank him for his blood and thank him because he died and he was risen from that grave. I have every reason to give praise and honor to God. Give him a hand of praise this morning. So the fruit that comes out of this salvation we've received from God is the act of our worship and our praise. Now you wonder why we come here every week. The reason we come here every week is because of this reason. The folks who are in church week after week have realized that what Jesus has given to us, nothing in this world can give. Nothing in this world can give. The folks that come here every week have come to realize the importance of the cross, that Jesus died for our sins. The folks that come here every week are people who realize that they are sinners and can only be saved by the grace of God. And we come, and we come, and then we come again, and we keep coming because there's no other one to go to and no other place to run to but to the cross of Christ. The cross on which he died. I pray this morning that as you have received these words from God, it would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always that God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. God will not build his home in you and move away. He'll never lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say,